again. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. James Beckham and Felix Mantilla are two fine human beings who have been sharing their knowledge and love of baseball and the art of living with thousands of young people from difficult Milwaukee neighborhoods. Mr. Beckham played in the Negro Leagues and with the East St. Louis Giants. He's been with us several times on this show. And Mr. Mantilla was with the Milwaukee Braves playing in the World Championship in 1957. Both men are now in their 80s. The work they continue to do and the children they reach are featured in Mark Segrist's new documentary, Milwaukee's Diamonds in the Rough. Mark's documentary premieres on MPTV 10 on Thursday, August 6th at 7 o'clock. And there's a free public screening that's coming up this Wednesday at the Jewish Museum in Milwaukee. Mark has produced many documentaries for Milwaukee Public Television, including, I think the last one we talked to him about was Return to Pearl. He traveled with 19 World War II veterans from around Wisconsin who returned to Pearl Harbor in June of 2012. And he's done many other documentaries as well. Glenn Matthews is also with us in our studios in Milwaukee. He's assistant executive director of the Beckham Stapleton Little League. He is a longtime coach of the league and also a former player of the league. And the documentary is obviously because it's more than baseball. It's baseball as well, but this is really about a value system. And Mark has interviewed many of the coaches and Mr. Beckham and Mr. Mantilla and also many of the kids who are involved in the program. Mark, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for the invitation. It's always nice to be with you.
And you
were
a ball player?
Tried to be, yes. Aspiring ball player. Yes.
A Little League player, were you?
I played Little League. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I can tell that you. There's a little love for the game, too.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great American tradition, and so much can be learned from playing youth baseball, and the instruction that you receive from your coaches stays with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And Glenn, you've been a coach with the Beckham Stapleton League and a player.
Yes, ma'am.
You stayed with it for a while, haven't you?
Yes, and thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, yeah. Our great pleasure. These two programs that you've featured, Mark, I think are incredible, partially because of their longevity. They've been around for so long. The men who founded them are in their 80s and are still very involved, and thousands of young people have been through the programs now.
Well, what I discovered was that not only are both programs steeped in tradition and been around for decades, but as Glenn Matthews points out in our presentation, when a four-year-old signs up to play T-ball, one of the first things that he and his fellow coaches explain to him or her is that, hey, get ready for a journey because you're going to be with us for a while. Is that right, Coach?
That's correct. We want to take them from that four-year-old stage all the way up through high school. Mm-hmm. So it's important to build those social concepts within our kids and our youth, and that's what we try to do, and then have fun. I love the T-ball. That you always get a good.
Do you?
Yes. Just to see them running around and they're being introduced to a baseball,
right,
a new sport, especially at that young age of 4 years old, 4 and 5. It's happy. You see the parents going all over the place, but the kids really have fun.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. And you say early, and so many of the people you interview, Mark, talk about how what you learn in terms of the values of, tell me what those values are, have a direct translation to how you do in school and how you might do in life, that it translates.
Exactly. It's all about, the theme is really how baseball is an ongoing lesson in life. And baseball in both of these leagues is really being used as a gateway for ongoing learning and a gateway for preparation for life and a gateway for gaining a further thirst of knowledge, whether that be literacy or whether that be how one conducts his or herself, one's demeanor, teamwork, discipline. And one of the biggest virtues in all of this is building self-confidence. You know, it's pretty tough for a four-year-old to get up to bat. Thank God at that level of play, there's a coach that's right beside him or her helping them swing, because the number of swings and misses
yes,
is incredible.
Right.
But once that child connects, mm-hmm, it's like hallelujah. And that's another thing that I think viewers will find interesting. There's something really special. You know, moms are regarded as natural nurturers. But when you see an adult male in a nurturing situation helping four-year-olds swing a bat and then picking up the ball, putting it back on the tee, picking up the ball, putting it back on the tee, you begin to understand, you know, we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do a lot of the kids stay from T-ball all the way through high school, through the whole program, all those years, Glenn?
A majority of our kids do stick
with
it. Yeah, it's incredible. And well, I said I've been coaching down there and been a part of the league for well over 20 years now. Mm. And my son is 13. And I know he's been there, so I know at least 13 years. Well, no, about 8 of those years he's been around, from 4 and 5 years old, being a part of the Little League. So I can see him going all the way through. But there's kids that when I was coaching 15, 20 years ago now have children who are in T-ball, and some of them have even come back and helped coach as well. So you see the progression, and we always stick with them. And how's it going with school today? Or you see them out in the mall or in the street somewhere, you talk to them because they know you as Coach Matthews, and they come and talk to you. So it's always great to see that.
Let's talk a little bit about just the sport of baseball, because you make it evident in the film, Mark, that this is a complicated sport. I mean, if you take your eye off what's going on, you're going to miss something, because something's happening, and sometimes things are happening that have never happened before with baseball. When to run, what other people are doing on the field, how to hit the ball, which is a really hard thing to do. There are a lot of skills that you have to learn to play baseball, right? And to enjoy the game.
Yeah, and in our presentation, Mr. Beckman, Mr. Mantilla, who appear throughout the presentation in the studio, we invited them to come in and to chat with us about the art of baseball and the culture of baseball and baseball as a gateway to further learning. So we talked to them together, and it was very special because these gentlemen have known each other for a long time. They're both on the same page. They both have a mission, social outreach and further education. And they know each other so well that when we were chatting with them in the studio, they started finishing their sentences like a married couple. So it was special. But both of these gentlemen point out the fact that I think the question you're asking me is as it pertains to
the complexity of the whole game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Mr. Mantilla points out that repetition is such a key. It is so important that if you have a coach who can spend time with you on a one-to-one basis, mm-hmm. and Glenn makes time with his older players to do just this, whether it's pitching or whether it's hitting, that repetitive nature of it is so important, because then you begin to build confidence. And once you build confidence, you have an interest in learning something else. And you learn through your mistakes. And when you make a mistake, you come back tomorrow. But that repetitive nature and that individual instruction, according to Mr. Beckham and Mr. Mantilla, are just so key to learning the game and to learning the lessons of life.
Yeah. How difficult is it to play baseball, Glenn?
It's, to me personally, it's not difficult at all. It's once you learn some of the mechanics, and I think that's the most important thing, going back to the fundamentals. A lot of our kids now, unfortunately, have some other social emotional learning issues that sometimes bring to the table or to the field, I should say. So you have to spend at least 10 to 15 minutes just to digress those issues, to bring them up to where you want them to be for baseball, because at an older age, that 13 and up, you have to start thinking a little bit more. It's a thinking person's game, so you have to look at situations, and so you have to constantly coach to that aspect. The one thing I will say when I talk to all of our players, because I don't need to coach, I don't need nobody to help me know how to hit. I know how to do this. Well, the professionals have position coaches.
They have a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of position coaches. The minor leagues have them. So why are you telling me you're better than the players over at the Brewers? So once they get that in their mindset, they're a little bit more receptive to the coaching aspect of it.
And what are the social emotional issues they're dealing with they bring to the ballpark?
Oh, you have a lot. You know, dealing with the family, the environment that they have to go back home to. They love coming down to the ballpark, getting instruction, playing around, playing the game, learning the game, just being around in a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
But after the games are over, you know, they have to go back home, whether mm-hmm. it's on Beecher or on North Avenue. They have to go back home. So those are some of the challenges that you have to deal with when you're dealing with the kids. Mm-hmm. And I try not to baby them, but I try to make it more fun for them as well. And that's what we want.
Well, there's also this whole community, and you talk about it in the documentary, is that you're making a whole group of friends, and the parents are making friends, too. It becomes an extended community for everybody who's involved.
Yes. Coach Charles Young, who heads up the Mantilla League as coordinator, because the Mantilla League has just taken over administration of the league. Journey House has taken over the administration of Felix Mantilla Little League from UCC, which did a wonderful job for decades. Charles Young is the director of youth programming, and as such, he's administering the league, and he's just a wonderful guy, and is so in touch with the kids, and identifies their potential, and guides them individually, and he talks very much in the documentary about the importance of engaging parents, making parents be part of the presentation, as is the case with folks in the Beckham Stapleton League. The fact that parents have to come along for that journey. And one thing that spectators will notice when they're at 9th and Brown, the home complex for Beckham Stapleton League, it's a celebration atmosphere, especially on Field 5, where the T-ballers play. Moms and dads and members of the players' extended families come and bring picnic dinners. And they gather on the picnic tables, and they're cheering on these kids and celebrating their successes and encouraging them when they strike out. But it's just a loving a sense of community. It's, First and Chase, the home fields for Barron Park, the home fields for the Felix Mantilla organization, and 9th and Brown, the home fields for Beckham Stapleton. I regard them as it's special ground. It's mm-hmm. really special ground in Milwaukee because terrific things are happening.
Yeah, they sure are. They sure are. And you have, I wonder if you do at Beckham Stapleton, I noticed in the Mantilla League there was a young girl who wanted to be a veterinarian, and she's really studying and knew her baseball as well. Are young girls as active in the program as young boys, and is that growing?
We do have, I want to say, close to 10 to 12 females who are playing, girls who are playing baseball. They typically will start dying out around the 12 and 13-year-old, and they'll either go to softball. But I've had a young lady who, all the way up to she was 15, and for the most part was the most valuable player in a juniors division. She can bring it. She brought it every she brought it every game, and I was fortunate enough to coach her. So she was very good.
Nice.
I think the young lady you're alluding to, 10-year-old Lisette Contreras. Mm-hmm. Tells us on camera, you fall in love with her. I mean, she
yes.
just has a million-dollar
yes.
smile. And I'll tell you, she's pretty graceful. She is really graceful on the diamond. And we saw her going through winter drills in the gymnasium. And the guys had to keep up with her. But she smiled on camera, and she said, yeah, I want to. I said, what are your dreams? Well, I want to be a veterinarian, but I still want to play baseball. And I think she's going to accomplish both.
Yeah. Felix Mantilla has, I believe, three young ladies who play in the juniors division, which is 13 to 15.
Oh.
And they're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Do you think we'll see a time when you're going to groom a young lady who's going to be one of the first players in the major leagues?
I'm hoping so. There appears to be the Monet Davis. I believe she's on that route. But there's several girls now that I think in college who can play college ball and professional ball as well.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll see it soon.
So that ad we're seeing on television may become a reality at some point. That would be a big day in baseball.
Yes.
That'd be a really
be
big
cool.
day in
yes.
baseball, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And what about the sport itself? I've heard that there aren't as many people, particularly minorities, who are, and particularly African-Americans, who want to play baseball, that we're seeing more players from Dominican Republic and Caribbean nations and Cuba. We're going to see more instead of more African-American players. Is there a loss of interest in baseball for some reason in the African-American community, Glenn, or not?
Yes, I think it's twofold. One, up until recently, and I give Antanasio and his crew over there a great job. getting the Brewers more and more involved with the community, especially some of the Black and Hispanic players coming back and giving more, being visible in the inner city. So before that, you have a probably a generation that just wasn't into baseball, or the Brewers organization, I could say here, was not that involved. I mean, they gave money, that's fine, but being a little bit more visible with the players are more accessible now to to at least to the Beckham Little League, and so we get a lot of that now, so you're starting to see a little bit more. So I would probably say probably in the next 5 to 10 years you may see a lot more African-American players, if it's going on in other cities, major league cities, as it is in Milwaukee. You'll start seeing a lot more Hispanic and Black players infused into Major League Baseball.
Yeah. It's a good thing, isn't it, Mark? Because even though you say these sports people shouldn't be role models, by golly, they are to people. And if you're playing baseball and some major league player comes and gives you a little tip or watches part of a game that you're in, that means a world to these young people.
It does, but you know, the coaches equally, if not more. I mean, I'm sure Glenn remembers his coaches. A coach, you know, when you're 9, 10, 11, especially when you're in middle school, high school, early grades of high school, and a coach gives you a compliment, you think about that for a long
time. Oh, do you really?
Time. Yes.
Oh.
Powerful connection. Powerful connection.
Why?
It just sticks with you, and it was that moment where you received a little bit more confidence. And I think, again, let's go back. All the Beckham kids, they're my kids. Whether I coach in one team or not, they're all my kids. So I want all of them to succeed. So having that mindset is hopefully what we want all of our coaches and volunteers to just say, okay, that's my team my son or my daughter plays on, but these are all of our kids. So we have to make sure, go back to more of the family, community-oriented. That's what we strive to be over at Beckham. Hopefully when people come by and visit, and I hope you do.
Yeah, I hope you do too. It's a great place.
You will definitely see that family atmosphere there.
And players, young players will tell things to their coaches that they wouldn't necessarily tell their own parents.
Correct.
That they wouldn't necessarily tell their teachers. It's a more relaxed instructional atmosphere. There's a high level of trust. And if a coach has the time to work individually with someone, and John Torres, very successful, I know you know John, very successful media entrepreneur here in Milwaukee, has coached for the Felix Mantia Little League for many years. He isn't currently coaching, but he's told me that, you know, when he was coaching at Barron Park, that he would get calls in the middle of the night from his players. That just wanted to talk.
Really?
That just wanted to tell him things that they didn't feel comfortable telling other folks. And more times than not, he would find himself in the role of mentor. And, you know, he'd always work with the parents. He'd always keep folks in the loop. But, I mean, you develop a relationship, and I know this happens to Glenn is very good at not only working with a team as a whole, and I've seen Glenn do this. Glenn will work individually and help a young player understand where he or she is in the development of their game. We have a moment where you and I talk on camera, Glenn, where you're telling me how you identify the strengths and weaknesses of a young player, and sometimes a pitcher will come to you and say, I'm a power pitcher, right, coach? And you have to explain to him, you share that with us?
Yeah. You have to look at where they're at in their technique and their strengths, and tell me you're a power pitcher. Okay, let's see you get the ball over the plate consistently. Can you move it here? Can you do there? But just watching their mechanics, you're not a power pitcher. So you have to go through and just talk through the situation. Where do you want to be? This is where you're at now, where you want to be. And we kind of keep stats on all of our players.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, we look at them. We have a little evaluation that we keep. So we make sure that we know, even if the pitcher is pitching against me, I know his strengths, so I have to end of the game, and I've caught myself a couple of times this year saying, you probably need to do this a little bit better on the mound. He's like, oh, so that's gonna kill your team. Just do it. Because I'd rather you get it the right way. and I may lose, mm-hmm. but I want to see you succeed and get it done the best way you can, because we're all out here together. Nice. So
we're going to welcome phone calls, and that young girl who wants to be a veterinarian and still play ball, we have a bit of the documentary of a clip from it, so we'll hear that too. And welcome your phone calls. I hope that some of you are very, very familiar, those in the Milwaukee area, with both of these Little League programs. They're just really amazing. I'm more familiar with the Beckham Stapleton League because my son played ball. Actually, I come from a baseball family. They are baseball people completely, but I've been to many, many a game when he was playing at Beckham Stapleton and just love that field. And we're talking about the Mantilla Field as well. One's on the north side of town and one's on the south side of town, and they're difficult parts of town, and it's amazing how many people, because James Beckham and Felix Mantilla started these programs in 65 and 73, so thousands and thousands of young people have been through the program, many of them staying with it from T-ball time all the way through high school. And you learn a lot on a Little League team, particularly these Little League teams, skills that are important to you not only in playing baseball, but also in going to school. Here's our phone number. We have lines open if you want to join this conversation. We'd love to hear from you. The importance of a coach, we'll talk about that. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is our number. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter as well, @KDunnShow. And you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking this hour about two very remarkable Little League programs, and with the director, the host, and the writer, and the producer of this new documentary, Mark Segrist. He is a documentarian, and he's done a lot of other terrific shows in addition to this one. This one will air on Milwaukee Public Television on August 6th. But this Wednesday, there's a screening, right?
There's a screening at Jewish Museum Milwaukee, 1360 North Prospect. We're going to start the presentation of our documentary at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
And we're inviting representatives from the players, coaches, and administrators of both leagues featured, and the members of the general public. May I say, in reference, if you don't mind, we're really planning a special night, August 6th, of a baseball culture on Channel 10, because following our presentation, Milwaukee's Diamonds in the Rough, my colleagues from the magazine Black Nouveau are also featuring a half-hour tribute to the historic Negro Leagues.
Oh, wonderful.
Of course, Mr. Beckham was honored as a representative of those leagues this weekend by both the Milwaukee Brewers and the Congregation of Holy Redeemer Church of God in Christ. And so it's going to be a fun hour of baseball culture the night of August 6th on Channel 10.
Wonderful. The show that brought back memories for one listener, this is an email, the Stars of Yesterday League, part of the county minor league in Milwaukee that ended sometime in the 1970s, but produced players like Bob Uecker.
Yes.
Yeah. That was an active program then. It's no longer around.
No. Yeah. I don't think it's around anymore.
Yeah. Let's go to Shane in La Crosse, our first caller for you, gentlemen. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm great. Love your show. Love this program. I'm a Little League baseball and softball umpire in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And I was just wondering, as your guest, how they deal with troubled parents, parents who show up and expect everyone to be major league players. And, you know, it's kind of how they would go about explaining to those parents that, you know, they're in a teaching role, and it's just as much their responsibility for not only their own kids, but other kids to be, looking up to them and seeing how they act and how they behave there.
You got this one down, Glenn.
Yes, I got that. And yeah. I'm an umpire as well. So
My gosh. Oh,
thrown a few parents out of the park, too.
Are you serious? You threw them off the intersection?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
Get them out of there. But the first and foremost, and that's a very good question, the first and foremost is we meet with all, we have a parent night before the season start, and we try to do one when the season goes, just to reiterate some of those things. But we have to let all of our parents know that, yeah, your kid might be good, especially in their eyes. However, this is all about teaching and development of all the kids. So your kid may be a little bit more advanced in hitting or throwing, but maybe need some work on base running. So we treat all of them the same. So that's one of the things that you just set your expectations of the league. Just let them know that all the kids are here for development. Some are a little bit better than others, and we will help promote that. But while you're here, we want to treat everyone the same because it's all about learning and developing the kids. And sometimes you may have one or two parents that just, well, I'm not going to do that. My kid should be starting. My kid should be this and that.
Right.
Well,
I know.
Unfortunately, this may not be the league for you, or it may not be the sport for your child.
Yeah.
So they have to work within that because some kids are a little bit more advanced than others. However, you have to still work within the system because there's always going to be another kid better than that kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then that parent's going to be, well, start comparing, and you don't want that headache.
What do both of you think, taking this beyond the documentary a little bit, I'm sure you know coaches all over. What do you think about the quality of coaching? I have, having been through many coaches, my children's going through coaches. It can be a really bad experience for a kid, or it can be, I'm sure, Glenn, what you are giving them is a wonderful experience. But there are a lot of people who are in it to be kind of officious and, you know, throw their weight around in some ways, and not a good experience for kids. So what advice do you have for people to be the best coach they can be?
We try to do more and more training. I know several organizations provide training, and we have to get back to the way the coaching now is, again, different than it was 10 years ago due to a lot of other circumstances. So we have to get coaches more involved with the social and emotional learning aspect as well. But get back to coaching and developing kids versus trying to win. And that's one of the things, that's one of the biggest sticklers Mr. Beckham has, is you're here to help develop the kids and not just to promote winning.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, he doesn't want you around. I do not want you around. The board doesn't want you around because it's going to hurt a lot of kids in the long run. If you're just there just to win.
Right.
That's not the kind of character and long-term leadership stuff we want our kids to have.
Yeah. Mark, what do you say about that?
And I just wanted to add, not only is there a strong relationship between coaches and parents in the Beckham-Stapleton tradition, but also in the Felix Mantilla Journey House, the new administrative sponsor for that, and I misspoke, I referred to him as Coach Charles Young. Coach Charles Brown is doing a wonderful job of extending a system that's already in place with their wonderful community football program, and that is parental engagement. Orientations are a requirement. Parents, when they sign up their children, they have to attend an orientation meeting so that they're on the same page with the coaches, with the administrators, and with their young people, so that they realize that it's not just a game. It really is a lifelong lesson. They're incorporating a literacy program. If you're going out for the team, you have to be part of a literacy program. And, of course, in the Beckham-Stapleton tradition, literacy is also emphasized, and all the social skills and learning skills that go with it. So I think what at least I'm noticing in the traditions of both of these programs is just that strong connection. Everyone is on the same page, not only among the coaching staffs, but extended to the parents. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the tradition in your league and in Felix Mantilla League is that when the kid walks on the diamond, he or she is really, you know, once you're on the field, you really are under the direction of the given coach, out of respect for the coach, and so as not to confuse the young person. And, you know, that's really important.
Absolutely. And parents who are coaching on the side are not helpful. Well, what do you think? Did we address what you were talking about, Shane, if you're still there? Shane is not there, but I hope we did. And I wanted to play a little bit from the documentary. You've mentioned Charles Brown, Mark, and this is a little portion from Milwaukee's Diamonds in the Rough, and it is Charles Brown, the youth program director of Journey House.
Yes, and as such, he's coordinating the Felix Mantilla League as well, right? And this might be an interaction between him and Lissa Contreras. It could very well be.
Yes, and remind us, she's the young girl who's
wants to be a veterinarian and a baseball
player. Why, can you do both?
Yeah,
yeah, she can.
All right, you can do both. Here it is.
Really, this is about education, life skills and development, character development, nutrition, parent engagement, and those kind of life skills that will go beyond the baseball field.
10-year-old Lisette Contreras has that kind of ambition. She is a veteran, Felix Mantilla Little League.
with a competitive spirit for life in general.
What kind of dreams do you have? What do you want to be when you grow up?
I actually want to be a veterinarian, but I still want to play a lot of baseball.
The social impact of Urban Little League Baseball in Milwaukee is profound. It's far more than a sport. Whether Beckham ball on the north or the Mantilla tradition to the south, it's all about the formation of young lives for the future.
And let's talk more about that future, Glenn, when you're coaching people not only to play on the field, not to win necessarily, but to do the best they can. Tell me, over the years, I'm sure you've seen some young people really grow, people who came in and maybe, you know, thought that they knew it all or their life circumstances were really, really tough, and and it gives them a center.
I've seen both ends. I've seen some who've progressed, come in the average ball player and leaves the program doing really well, go on to high school, and now I've come back an umpire, very good, very good umpire.
Nice.
I've seen some kids who actually recently just had some kids who never played before and started playing at 13 and 14 years of age. Can be a big difference because now the ball is traveling 75, 80, sometimes 90 miles
per
hour.
Whoa, really? 90 miles an hour at that age?
Oh, yeah. Because you're now on the big league diamond.
So,
but they stick with it. And I recently had a kid who never played before and was like, they had a ball. They had a ball all season long and wants to come and help out. And when the All-Stars, when we picked All-Stars and to help us in the tournament, was there to help hang out, and you need anything, just cheer on his teammates. Some he's played against. Again, kid never played baseball before. So we see, you see both sides of it, and I think they, again, that social part, they just love it. And again, it's a family atmosphere down there.
And what struck us as producers is, and by the way, if I can share some names, Chris Mikowski did a just phenomenal job editing this half hour. Michael Garvin and Jose Lozano just did some brilliant shooting. And this is, I think when folks get done seeing the images that were created by my colleagues and be able to hear the on-field interaction between the coaches and the young people, I think they'll begin to really understand the theme of these leagues.
Yes, they do.
And one of the themes is, and Glenn works very hard with his players, I know, as do the coaches in the Felix Mantilla League, they really stress presence on the field. What kind of presence do you want to have? And not just refraining from getting upset with a bad call, just the way you carry yourself, and from the way you take the mound, from the way you breathe between your pitches, the way you interact with your fellow fellow teammates on the field, because the presence that one, the image that one projects, really enters into the performance. And if you do have some potential, as Coach James Hanks points out, who's another one of your wonderful coaches in your league, Glenn, you never know when a scout might be in the stands, because scouts come and watch young people.
Do they really? Scouts are in the stands.
And they're evaluating you when you least expect it.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. And they're looking at character. Back to how do you handle yourself in a tough situation? Are you just throwing your helmet and
throwing your bat,
throwing a tissy fit, or are you just sucking it up and that was a bad play. Okay, I know I made a mistake, and let's move forward. And I'll get the next batter.
And sometimes, you know, I had the pleasure of spending opening day with Mr. Beckham. We were talking the art of hitting and fielding. I took way too much of his time, but he stuck with me in the stands for really, Coach. Mr. Beckham was, you know, talking ball with me for maybe an hour and a half. I got hungry, and he said, I got to go get a sandwich. But we're watching, I think this young person was maybe like nine or so, one of your pitchers. And the presence of this young man, just taking the mound and bringing it and just, you know, taking his time, totally in control. And I kept having to remind myself, this guy's like 9 or 10 years old. And he just has the demeanor. When you allowed us to come in February to shoot some of your indoor hitting instruction, a couple of your players really captured our attention. And their presence, even in the batting cages, was beyond their years. I mean,
they looked like
the
they were
swings
really
were fluid,
ball players.
Just the shoulders straight.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Just, and then, what also impressed me, when their turn at bat in the cage was done, they'd stick around and watch their buddies hit because they were learning from their buddies.
Right.
Yeah. And it's all part of the baseball culture.
Right. Yeah. And this thing about losing, too, I don't want to underplay that because you have a game and you win it, and then the next day you might get defeated by 15-0, you know?
Correct.
It's and how you conduct yourself after that is a very important thing to learn.
It is, and I constantly go back. They're down on themselves when they lose
right.
or get beat. It's like, okay, you do understand that the Brewers lost 14-0.
The month of April.
Right. So,
right.
But they're still out there playing. They go out the next day.
Yes.
And they play. So everyone has a bet. The Yankees get blown out every now and then. So
right.
You can't just sit there and mope on it. So you say, hey, it was a bad outing. Did you all play your best?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no? If
right.
it was yes, okay, what can we do better?
Right.
If it was no, what can we do better?
Right.
So you have to constantly build them back up with
yeah.
that.
800-486-8655 is our number if you're just tuning us in. We're talking baseball this hour, but wonderful baseball, Little League baseball, that's featured in the Milwaukee Public Television documentary, Milwaukee's Diamonds in the Rough. These are rough neighborhoods on the north and south side of Milwaukee, and they have long, long, long-standing Little League programs that were started by one gentleman who was in the Negro Leagues, and he's a peach of a guy. I do not know Felix Mantilla, but he looks like a peach of a guy as well. He played with the Milwaukee Braves and was in the championship series in 1957. They're in their 80s. They're still actively involved in their Little League programs. And at this point, so many young people have gone through the programs, and you know, they're dealing with tough situations at home, and what happens on the ballpark gives them all kinds of skills and in many ways gives them family and community, and it's all good. 800-486-8655 is our number, and Alex in Hudson is our next caller. Hi, Alex.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm very good.
Good.
All right, well, I just have a quick question. I'm a college football player, actually, so I'm part of a team sport. My question is, for kids down the Little League the last 15 years, the tech, the iPhones, the cell phones, Snapchat, you know, the social media,
right?
How do you keep the children focused? And is it a task to keep them focused?
That's a good question. Glenn?
Well, the easy thing is we do not allow them to use their phones during practice or even game time. Even for coaches, you're not allowed to have your phone. The manager, fortunately, was the manager. I'm able to have it. But one of the rules of baseball, especially in Milwaukee County, is there's no cell phones in the dugout. So they're not allowed to have them. So the Twitter and Instagram and all that, they can do that afterwards. As far as monitoring that of our kids, we do not monitor what they do.
We trust them.
We trust them. So
it is ubiquitous, isn't it, Mark? I mean, they're everywhere, and I'm guilty of it, too. I have my phone. I never thought I finally got one of those things that does everything last year, and it's hard not to spend a lot of time with it.
I know. It is.
Yeah.
It is. And sometimes you have to let go. And even when you let go, you're afraid you're going to miss something.
I know. So. Isn't
yeah.
that true?
Checking work.
May I add something else to the conversation? These leagues really reflect the personalities of the men who bear
Imagine.
Their names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the coaches are all on the same page. And the players, I think a lot of it has to do with the respect that the coaches show both of these men.
Yes.
The respect that is shown by the coaches and even the peers of Mr. Beckham is most impressive. And the ballplayers see this. You address Mr. Beckham as Mr. Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
And even coaches about his age or a little bit younger do that. And the kids see this done. The same is true when Mr. Mantilla comes to a ball game in his league. He sees the respect that is given him, and they know because both of these men are deeply involved in these leagues, they know that the instruction is genuine and from the heart, and these men both believe in their hearts what they're sharing with these kids through the coaches in terms of confidence and discipline and ongoing learning. They walk the walk, and they take delight in seeing the kids progress. And keep in mind, when Mr. Beckham and Mr. Mantilla came up through the ranks of professional baseball, it was tough. And they were tough, competitive, hard-nosed guys, but they understand the importance of nurturing kids and getting them in this frame of mind at an early age and sticking with it through their middle teens and later teens. And that's what makes these programs successful. It's a formation. It's not a reaction to a bad summer. It's not a reaction to a summer of violence in the city. This has been going on for decades. Yes. And it's all about getting the young people and their parents and their families involved in the early stages of it and sticking with it. And it's proven to make a difference. Mm-hmm. For those who have gone through the program.
Oh, I'm sure it does. And I'm so glad you did a documentary on it. They're so good. It's just good to highlight them. And when you said the longevity, it's really something, Mark.
You know,
they've been around for so long.
There's nothing more meaningful than seeing a grown man being nurturing with young people.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Garvin and Jose Lozano were able to get a lot of those scenes where, you know, the kids were on the bench and the coaches were putting their arms on their shoulders and telling them, come on, we can do this,
right.
We can do this. Seeing these coaches taking their time with the kids at bat, you know, when they strike out, they're encouraging. There are some wonderful things going on in those diamonds, and I think I'm so pleased that both leagues gave us the access they did in order to share that with our viewers, because I think it's an important message for people to understand and be exposed to.
I agree. More phone calls in just one moment. Our number is 800-486-8655. Mark Segrist is with us in our studios in Milwaukee. He is a documentarian. His latest film is Milwaukee's Diamonds in the Rough, and it's going to be on Milwaukee Public Television Thursday, August 6th at 7 o'clock, and there's going to be a free public screening this Wednesday, July 22nd at the Jewish Museum in Milwaukee. Doors open at 5, screening begins at 6, and the players and the coaches and everybody will be there. It should be a good time.
They have a wonderful exhibit going on at Jewish Museum Milwaukee, Chasing Dreams, and Molly Dubin was gracious enough to invite us to come in and open the doors for a special screening. So it's a wonderful partnership, and we're most appreciative of that.
More calls in a moment on the Ideas Network. All right, let's go to phone calls. Jim in Madison, hi.
Say, I wondered if your guests believe that kids should be encouraged to try several sports and maybe participate in 2-3 sports a year, or do they feel it's more valuable to just concentrate on one sport?
Glenn?
Oh, that's a very good question. I believe it was Jim.
Yes.
Very good question. One of the things that we always say is try various sports. I know with the advent of AAU, so a lot of kids with strictly with basketball or strictly soccer, we encourage our kids to play football, go play with Journey House or Earl Ingram has a league. Was an NCSL. Milwaukee Public Rec League, play football, play basketball, play soccer. I'm always encouraging them to do golf, do other things to keep them active, run track. The one sport at this young age right now, I think a lot of parents are just forcing their kids to be the next superstar, but I think they need to develop other skill sets. Swimming is always a good one to help them breathe.
Oh, it's a great skill.
As well. So we always encourage them to play another sport, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
That's
good
a
for
very
you.
Good question.
It's great. Yeah. What do you think?
I totally agree. I totally agree. I mean, it's just like a thirst for more knowledge, you know, and so many of the skills are crossover skills and related skills.
Yes.
And broadens your knowledge of the world.
Right.
We've actually, real quick on that,
yeah, sure.
We've had a couple of players who come in, either from the Brewers organization or I had a couple of other former baseball players come and talk to some of the kids. They said, hey, I was a two-sport. I played basketball. I could have went on and played professional basketball, but I went on and played baseball. And Russell Wilson, you could talk about Michael Jordan and all them. Then they start seeing the double sports or even triple sports of some of these kids.
Right.
Shaq has even talked to them, said, hey, I played football, I played baseball, I love baseball. So you see the importance of doing that. So
I don't think I'd want to pitch batting practice to Shaquille O'Neal. I really wouldn't.
Thanks, Jim, so much for your call. Jill in Suamico, hi.
Hi, Dave. I really enjoyed your program, and I just wanted to, as an experienced professional and mother, is that we trusted coaches, whether it was private, profit, or public, to be fair in choosing children on competitive categories or stages, ABC teams, that these coaches need to be accountable for the decision-making in written form, you know, so that if there are questions about why one player was chosen over another, that parent could actually see the ratings. I have been in private where my son wasn't chosen. I went to coaches. They had a meeting. They had no documentation. And I even went to the board, and there was nothing done about it. I think the reverse is the respect for the kids and the parents who have paid a lot of money and time and effort to get their kids those skills, leadership, and talent. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I've seen it in every aspect of life.
Glenn.
Yes, that's always a challenge. I discovered that maybe like 15 years ago. There, we really didn't have a written process. There was always the unwritten process. But you want to make sure you get all the kids, whether those who are pretty good or those who've never played before. You want a mixture of that. But all kids play. And that's probably the difference between a travel league or a no-name, not associated with Little League baseball, because Little League baseball is very specific. They have specific rules. Every kid is to play. Every kid is to be developed. So I'm not sure, but if it was a Little League that she's talking about, Little League International, and not, I think there's Babe Ruth, and then there's Pony Leagues and all these other leagues that are out there. Mm-hmm. But Little League International is very specific. So there are lots of rules on who should play and how they should get drafted. There's a draft choice. So, and then each league goes and tailor theirs to their specific charters. Mm-hmm. So,
thanks for the call. Sarah in Zion, hi.
Hey, this sounds really, really great. And I'm, you know, I work in a district, a school district that has a whole lot of poverty. And based on what I've seen in the school, I'm just guessing that the kids who are enrolled in this program must come from families who are, whose parents have it somewhat together just to be able to enroll the child and pay the fee. And I'm wondering if there are kids who are somehow identified, like through the Boys and Girls Club or, I don't know, some other program, who, I wonder if you ever reach out to families and try to convince them to enroll their kids in it.
Oh, yeah. There are fees associated. Let me just speak only on Beckham Little League because I'm an expert on that one. Beckham Little League is the fees, total fees is $100. And you get $100 in raffle tickets to sell. So if you sell all your raffle tickets, it's actually free. The kids get a uniform, a full uniform. If they do not have a glove, we go out and provide a glove for them so they can play. We supply the teams with bats and baseballs. So all they really need to go out and buy is some shoes, and we encourage them to go just buy some regular cleats unless they are a mega superstar and they can go out and purchase $200 pair of shoes, which I highly discourage against. Mm-hmm. Just get some regular cleats to play in. And if they can't afford that, we try to find a way to make sure that we get them, because we have kids who no longer will grow up or say, hey, my foot's too big for this shoe now. We take those shoes in, clean them up, and we pass them along.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much all of our fees associated. So, and we also have partnerships with the Boys and Girls Club, neighborhood houses, any community organization, churches that we can get into to promote our league. We want as many kids as possible so we can add more coaches and add more teams and have more fun for all of our kids. So it's a very good question, but we make sure that we try to keep the fees down as much as possible, but we have to run. We have to charge something in order to make this thing last, especially going into our 51st year.
Or 51st year, is
it? We just completed our 51st year.
Oh, man. Congratulations. So. That is so good. That is so good. If you want to give them donations, too, just, you know,
please
let us know, and we'll get it there. We'll let you know how to do that. We're out of time.
Thanks for having us. This was fun.
Thanks very much. It really was. It was great.
We know you're a baseball fan, so.
I am a baseball fan.
We're so happy
I have to be, or I couldn't live in the house with my family because
Understood.
That's what we do. And that's what we talk about at breakfast and at lunch and at dinner. And then on vacation, we talk about baseball. But I do like baseball.
Yes.
I do like baseball. I used to be a Chicago White Sox fan. Grew up in Chicago, but of course a Brewers fan now and a Beckham Stapleton fan
Thank you.
Too.
Absolutely.
All right, the documentary is August 6th on Milwaukee Public Television.
Yes.
At what time? 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, followed by 7:30, a tribute to the historic Negro Leagues that my friends, my wife Liddy, was involved in the two of the historic Negro Leagues, as produced by Black Nouveau.
Thank you. Mark Segrist with us, documentarian, and Glenn Matthews, who is assistant executive director of the Beckham Stapleton Little League. Thanks for listening.